Well, what is the place or situation, I wonder, where you can go to feel your body relax and let go of its tension? Do you have a place like that? Maybe it's when you finally get to that 1 week vacation you've been looking forward to, and you sit down on the first day in your reclining camping chair or whatever. You look out at the water and the pressures start to come off and you relax. I think sometimes just getting home after a tough day at work or at school or on the road can do that too. It's home time now, right? And you can set the other stuff aside and be with your loved ones and have peace. Believe it or not, one of the spots where I feel relaxation come over me is when I go running in the summertime. I don't really get this vibe when it's 20 degrees out, okay? But so summertime runs here, and although I can feel this way when I run during the day, I most often feel it when I run at night. So I actually quite commonly run after 10 p.m., and almost everyone, you know, almost everyone's in their homes. The streets are empty, but it's warm out, and the stars and the moon are shining above me. And even though the act of running is the opposite of relaxation, my brain and my emotions just kind of go, whew. Wonder what it is for you. What situation brings you relaxation? There's another scenario that I experience in my life from time to time where I can feel the tension leave my body. And if you've been a Christ follower for a length of time, I'd imagine you have felt this too, or at least I hope you felt it. It comes when I'm all stressed out about something, perhaps stressed out about many somethings, and I am feeling worn down and weary, but I go to my Father God in prayer, and I get reminded during that prayer time that God's got me, that He can handle all of the things that have been stressing me out, that He has my short-term picture and my long-term picture figured out for me, so I don't have to worry. And as those thoughts go moving about my brain, I start to feel the knots in my stomach untangle, start to breathe more slowly, start to feel peace. Wonder if you can relate to that. We read Psalm 23 together last Sunday morning. King David knew of this kind of experience. The Lord is my shepherd, he wrote. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. If you've read the Old Testament, you know that David faced way more than his share of tense situations and difficulty, even danger. But he also knew what it was like to go to God with his worries and have God, either symbolically or literally, ask him to lay down in green pastures, to go walk by quiet waters. David knew what it was like to have God restore his soul. And Jesus offers to us the exact same thing. What an attractive invitation it is from Jesus when he said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." We can find rest when we come to God in prayer. As much as we need vacations and home time in our temporary stay on this planet, the ability to find rest in the permanent God is far more important for us. All right, so I've been talking about internal rest here, rest and peace within our minds and hearts. But the biblical God commands physical rest too for us, correct? Commandment number 4 out of the 10, keep the Sabbath. In other words, God's saying, take time off from work each week, people, and really rest. So God desires for us internal rest and physical rest. Don't make the mistake of thinking that God calls his followers to laziness or sloth. Don't go too far with this rest thing, all right? We've seen in recent sermons the very strong work ethic that the Bible decrees for us. We're to be hard workers in our jobs, in our homes, in the task he has given to us all to spread the gospel. Our central two role models in the New Testament, Jesus being the main one, to a lesser degree than Paul, those two did not lead lives that were characterized by little activity. On the contrary, they laid it all out there to accomplish God's agenda in the world. While working hard in the world physically can bring physical tiredness upon us, and working hard in the world also typically means interacting with other people. And, you know, it's often those interactions with other people that lead us into having this internal weariness or tension or pressure that I've been referring to this morning. But we aren't to run from that. God calls us to engage the world with the gospel. And so engagement will lead us into tension and pressure and mental and emotional weariness after a while. So after we've been out there working for a time, we need to retreat into prayer. We need to connect with our Maker and just be with him, allowing him to bring us back to that place of peace. So there is a time to work, and there's a time to rest. When it is time to rest, I think that part of successfully getting there internally involves taking some time to remember just how blessed you are. Taking some time to think about the good in your life and to be grateful. I mean, really, just think of how blessed you are, child of God. Do you have breath in your lungs? Do you have a mind that can think and perceive? Do you have senses with which you can experience the world? Do you have a voice with which you can communicate? A voice by which you can speak and laugh and sing? You are blessed. Has the gospel message been told to you? Have you had an opportunity to hear it and receive it? If so, then you are blessed. And if you have received it through faith and a turning away from sin, then indeed you are blessed. For this means that you have been saved from eternal death. This means you have awaiting for you eternal life. One day your eyes will shed no more tears. It's promised. You're blessed. Look at Galatians chapter 4 with me, where it says that when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we would no longer be slaves, but that we would receive adoption to sonship. We've been talking about the Greek gods lately of that era. New Testament era, the Greeks imagined that human beings were the slaves of the gods. But the true God takes those who have turned back to him in repentance and makes them his own sons and daughters, praise the Lord. Not slaves. How blessed we are. Galatians continues, because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, and there he's talking about being a slave to sin. You're no longer a slave, but you are God's child. And since you're his child, God has made you also an heir. I say this from time to time, you've heard me say this many times, but if God is the king, that means that we as his children are princes or princesses in the kingdom, right? I'm not talking about Disney princesses here, okay? But this is kind of a big deal if we're serious about it, right? Remember the cartoon Masters of the Universe? Well, God is the master of the universe, and you have been made an heir, Christ follower. How blessed you are. And it stands to reason then that God would care about his children, wouldn't he? And Jesus confirmed that. He once asked, are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your father's care. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered, so don't be afraid. You're worth more than many sparrows. Everywhere the testimony of the word of God that is handed to us in the Bible says that God is love. and that he cares about our circumstances. If we put God first in our lives, Jesus said God will provide what we need. We're asked to bring our burdens to him in prayer. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. God loves you. You are loved by him. You're known by him. He's involved in your circumstances. You are blessed. Now, there are times in our lives when the realities of these blessings will have us on top of the world, and we feel ready to attack the tasks before us with energy and a full will. There will also be times when we're tired and weary, and we need to be reminded of those blessings. We need to focus in on them just in order to be able to rest. We think about how blessed we are and remember that our foundation is secure. And that helps lead us back into this state of being able to relax. Of course, we know that there are also times when life is especially tough, when life has really kicked you in the gut. And Calvary, when those times come along, often what we need most to do is just to be like the little children who Jesus welcomed into his arms. We climb into the lap of Jesus and just rest on him. Moses said, "The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are his everlasting arms." When times are especially tough, you are welcomed into Jesus' arms. You're welcomed to rest your weary head upon him. I took some summer school classes when I was in elementary school, and I have a very strong memory. I was a little older than you would think for naps, but I maybe second, third grade, I remember the teacher leading us in a nap time and, you know, rolling out those mats for us. But she did this a little different. We weren't just to lay there. She got us down on there and then would ask us to close our eyes, and then she would say, "Okay, now let your feet relax. Let them get sleepy." And I would do that in my mind. And I could feel my feet loosen up and kind of start to sink into the mat, right? And then she would say in her soothing voice, "Now move up to your lower legs and ask them to relax as well." And I would do that. And she would keep going at this, you know, all the way up the body until she had mentioned all the major sections, all the way up to my head. And oh, that was nice. I really enjoyed that. I don't know if I ever fell asleep, but I just remember really liking that exercise. We did it somewhat regularly. And I think that's kind of the feeling that we're going for here, that we're talking about. We're stressed and we're worried, and we start to pray, and we let God remind us of how blessed we are and how much he loves us, and we start to hand over to him the things that are driving us nuts. And hopefully, eventually, we start to feel the muscles in our bodies become more free. And that peace comes over us. You know, what if we could access that kind of feeling more often than just now and then when we're focusing in that way in prayer? What if we could have that kind of dynamic going on multiple times throughout each day? Here's a Bible verse for you. Isaiah 26:3, which says, "God keeps in perfect peace those whose mind is stayed on him." God keeps in perfect peace those whose mind is stayed on him. Stayed, obviously, is an old-fashioned word, but we get what it means, right? Those whose mind is stayed on God means those whose mind is fixed on God. Or how about those whose mind stays on God? What if we could keep our mind on God throughout the day? What if we memorize that verse and said it to ourselves many times during the day as a reminder to stay focused on God? So when you find your mind going to a difficult interaction that you had with someone recently and you begin to stew over that, say to yourself, "God keeps in perfect peace those whose mind is stayed on him." Focusing then on God in that moment reminds you to think about how he might look at that interaction that you've been ruminating on. Is there anything he would have you do about that situation? What things in that situation are outside of your control and should be released? You can be reminded at that moment that God is big and really can do things in that other person's heart as well, things that you can't. So you get reminded that you can trust him in this situation and that really you can relax. You can give it to him. When you lose your job unexpectedly and all kinds of anxious thoughts flood your mind, you can say to yourself, God keeps in perfect peace those whose mind is stayed on him. Focusing then on God in that moment reminds you that he cares about and is involved in the circumstances of his children's lives, and you are one of them. You remember that all resources are God's and that he is a provider. You're reminded that, you know, assuming that you do your part in this and that you seek God's will and that you research other jobs and put out applications, you'll be reminded that God will bring you a new job when the time is right, and he will help your finances eventually to work out. He'll give you what you need. When you learn that you have a health issue that is going to impact your life in a significant way for at least a while, you can say to yourself, God keeps in perfect peace those whose mind is stayed on him. And focusing in on God in that moment then reminds you that while sickness and disease and death are a part of life in this world, they are not bigger than God is. And sickness and disease and death are not part of the permanent home that God is preparing for you. He's got this health issue of yours. You can trust in him and crawl into his arms, rest your head upon him, and relax. There's a commercial that's being shown these days during the Twins games. Maybe you've seen it. A young adult woman is sitting on a park bench with her older adult mother. The young woman says something about the date of an event that she wants her mom to be at, and the mom says, oh, okay, let me put a note on my phone about that. And she takes out her smartphone, which is covered in Post-it notes. She writes the date down on a new Post-it note and slaps it on top of the others. She has thus taken a note on her phone, just not in the way that young people take notes on their smartphones. So I put a note on my phone this week. Check it out. Post-it note taped onto the back of my phone that says, Isaiah 26:3, God keeps in perfect peace those whose mind is stayed on him. I was trying to think of a place that I would see throughout my day, right? And I'm going to see that many times throughout the day, and it's going to remind me, and I think probably make me more able to access that peace that the verse is talking about on a more regular basis than I have in the past. Maybe you could do something similar. This idea kind of ties into what Craig Groeschel was telling us at the retreat a couple of weeks ago. He encouraged us to rehearse biblical truth in our minds in order to create pathways of thinking within us that are grounded in truth, pathways that can replace the lies that our minds tend to wander to. So, for instance, worry. Worry in the life of a Christ follower can be looked at as a lie that we are choosing to think about. It could even, speaking of worry, to an extent be looked at as sin, Pastor Groeschel said. Because when we worry, we're choosing to distrust God. But Scripture tells us that God is more than trustworthy and that he's at work in the events of our lives. So we are to get off the worry path. We're to get on the trust God path. Replace the lies in our heads with the truth. And Pastor Groeschel assigned us a task of writing out something that he called a declaration, which really was kind of a series of biblical truths that combat the lies that we know we tend to fall into. We were to write out this declaration and speak it to ourselves daily. Write it, speak it, think it, until you believe it, he said. And I hope that you did write out that declaration and that you're speaking it to yourself regularly. Well, reminding ourselves of Isaiah 26:3 would be another idea along these same lines. God keeps in perfect peace those whose mind is stayed on him. Multiple reminders a day on that truth will be beneficial for us. Wouldn't be a bad verse to start thinking of as a life verse, one to become very close to. I want to ask you all right now to just close your eyes, and we'll keep them closed for a little bit. And no, I'm not going to take you through the relaxation technique from summer school. Sorry. But yes, close your eyes. And let me ask you now, what's weighing you down in your life right now? What's causing worry? Is there something that has got you all tied up in tension knots? Something you can't stop thinking about? What's keeping you from feeling peace? As you have your eyes closed, I'm just going to ask you to bring that thing before God in prayer. Ask God what he thinks about the situation you have in your mind right now. And so, yeah, go ahead silently. Talk to him about it. Is there anything that he wants you to do about that thing? Within that scenario, what is outside of your control there? I want to ask you to release that to him right now. Those things that are outside of your control. Say that to God. If the situation you're thinking about involves conflict with another person, would you also take a moment to pray for them? Let God remind you that he is their creator too, that he cares about them, that he can work within them. Let God work on their heart. See the good in that person. And then back to everyone now, no matter what your situation is, let me ask you, can you trust God in the matter you're thinking about right now that you're bringing up to him in prayer? Can you trust him in that? Talk to him about that. Say to yourself, I can trust him with this. I can trust him with this. Give it over to him and don't take it back, right? I can trust him with this. You say it over and over until you start to feel that relaxation we're aiming for. As you remain in prayer there, I want to remind you, Christ follower, how blessed you are. Breath and life. A world of wonders around you. A God who sent his son to die so you could live. An eternal paradise awaiting you. You've been made into a child of the master of the universe, heir of the king. God knows you. He's at work in your life. You're loved by him. He'll provide what you need here, and he has your long-term good figured out as well, so you can rest. Be still and know that he is God. The psalmist wrote that whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in his shadow. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you'll find refuge. the Lord God is saying to you today. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. I'm going to ask you to continue in an attitude of prayer, but if you would now please open your eyes so that you can read on the screen the lyrics to a song that Christy is going to start for us now. Let's listen. Thank you for your word. Your word does so many things for us. It teaches us about who we are, why we're here, why the world is the way that it is. Your word instructs us on the right way to live and how to interact with you and others. Your word brings to us the good news of salvation made possible through your Son. Your word can bring us to our knees as it forces us to face our sinfulness. And it can lift us back up again and thrill us with your mercy and love and goodness. It can inspire us to action, propelling us out into the world to share your gospel and your love with others. It inspires us into acts of service. And your word, as we've seen here this morning, even meets us in those moments when we are weary, feeling beaten down, stressed out, in despair. And it says to us that when we're in moments like those, we can come to you and you will give us rest. You're so good to us. You meet our every need. I want to pray for those listening to this morning, Father, who are in a moment like that in their lives. And frankly, I doubt there was anyone here who couldn't think of something when I asked them what's weighing them down, causing worry or stress in these days. We all have something. So I pray for each of us then who have listened to this sermon that you will meet them in that situation they're thinking about, that you'll answer the prayers they've lifted to you today about that thing. I ask that you will provide for them the ongoing ability to rest in you, even in the middle of difficulty. Let these people leave here today with greater peace than they had when they came in. I also want to pray for those who fit the category I mentioned earlier of being a person for whom life has dealt an especially difficult blow in these days. Let them know they can crawl into your arms and just be. Just hang on. Speak your words of love and comfort over them. When the time is right, remind them of the hope that they have in you. Nurture them, Lord God, back into a place of being able to engage with life again. Heal them. Finally, I want to pray for any who have been hearing these words today who have yet to surrender their lives completely over to you. Your word is great and true, but all of these promises we've spoken of today apply only to people who have given over their will to you, who have surrendered the idea that they can make their own rules in life. These things apply only to those who have turned from their sinful ways and who, in faith, have declared their genuine intention to follow you. If there are any listening today who have yet to take that step, my prayer is that they will take care of that before you today without any more delay and make their lives right with you. Again, your call to all of us, Jesus, was, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I'm gentle and humble in heart. You will find rest for your souls. If any of you here today or listening later online or on the radio would like to have someone to talk to about any of this, please seek me out. I'd love to meet with you. Lord God, we thank you for this time we've had with you here this morning. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your love. And may we never forget it. You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are stayed on you. Amen.